As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
On the beach, the only place to read your emails and tweets. It's Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021. This is the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, Mr. What You Need to Know himself, Tass Mellis.
What's up, beachheads?
What's up? We got the Bassmaster ribbing them loops. Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. The international man of mystery taking it to the max. Snatching chains, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last, but not least, definitely not least, making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is, here we are. Shout out to anyone, to everyone joining us live right now on YouTube. The stream team coming through once again, getting closer and closer and closer to 30,000 subs. So please, please continue to like and comment. Subscribe, share. Let's work that algorithm, baby. Let's do it.
Love algorithms. I love them.
Yeah. We got a lot of great stuff up on our YouTube channel. Check out Tass's Daily What You Need to Know series. Him and JD knocking it out of the park Monday through Friday early in the morning. Check out Trey's hilarious 7 days in the NBA recap. New one went up yesterday on Tuesday night. Check that out. Check out the No Dunks Daily Pod. You can join us live. We talked Van Vliet and the Clippers Nets this morning. Had a blast. And finally, pitching ahead. Tomorrow night, Thursday evening, NBA Happy Hour is back, baby. We're going to fire up the stream team around halftime of the Warriors-Mavericks game on TNT. JD was so pissed that it went so well the first one. People actually tuned in. That means we got to keep doing it, JD. No, JD, you're the star of it in my mind. I love just, you know, just kicking it with you. We were not talking basketball, really. We're just talking about life.
That's my comfort zone.
Yeah.
It's the one show that I was actually able to participate in.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm happy to hear that. And obviously, it's happy hour, you know. You had some wine flowing last Thursday. I don't know what you got in store for tomorrow. I might get into the Johnnies tomorrow.
Whoa.
Yeah, it might be a crazy show. I have to tune in for that one. It's a lot of fun. That's the NBA happy hour. It's like our version of a watch party. We'll fire it up again around halftime of the Mavericks Warriors game. First game on TNT. Warriors in the first game always catches me by surprise on TNT doubleheader. That's pretty rare there, Tess. It's like, it's usually obviously the West Coast game. Usually they're hosting or they're on a West Coast team there.
And tomorrow we'll be close to 30 subs. And then this just popped in my head. We've got five of us here. We should each get a foot long sub.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll eat it and we'll put it up to the screen. Okay. We'll each have our sub.
Okay.
And it'll look like it's connected here because we're doing it over the stream yard. So yep. It's 5 foot long. That's only 5 times 6. I don't know why I was thinking 6 foot long, 6 times 5. You know what? My math is off. Just put me to. Anyway, I think it would look cool if we each have a sub and they're all connected. I thought it would add up to 30 for 30,000 subs, but listen, let's just get to 30,000 subs.
I see where you're going. Oh, okay.
A 6 foot long sub. That's kind of like that. That's like a Scooby Doo and Shaggy.
6 foot long subs. Didn't we used to have those in Vegas when we?
Yeah. I was thinking like a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
That's what you just get one of those for a Super Bowl party and split it up. Or 5 6-inchers. We'll just get 6 inches. 5 times 6. That's 30.
There you go. You got there.
Boom.
Got there. So yeah, we might be eating subs on tomorrow's NBA Watch Party. Speaking of like eating food live on our show here, Tass, I forgot to say this on the last couple of daily shows. You lost the pick'em. You got to pay it off. I think we've decided something on Friday. You obviously join us on the Friday daily show. You'll pay it off then. You'll be eating a weird thing. That's all I'll say. But if you've been following the show for the last couple of weeks, you can maybe figure out what we're going to make Tass eat during the show. Two things combined together to make something that probably doesn't taste all that great. Or maybe it does. Who knows?
That's become our thing now. It's just eat weird stuff on our show the last few years, for sure. But we were talking a little bit earlier. JD was thinking that we take it up a notch, maybe get a drive-through involved.
Yeah.
Film it in a drive-through.
Oh, wow. So we're going to make this an actual production.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, okay. As long as it happens somewhat soon, you know I hate sitting on a payoff. Because before you know it, suddenly February's done. And then we've got two payoffs to do.
Well, we haven't paid off the last month of last season. Oh, Trey and I lost. We still haven't paid that off.
Oh, God. So you're down two.
Yeah, you guys should do the Dude, Where's My Car drive-through scene then. You know, where they...
Go on.
They just...
And then?
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. What am I thinking of? That and then is that one. What's the one where they... Where they don't speak properly, because if they get it wrong, they get their free food. And then, so they go through and they just go, and the lady gets their whole order right. I thought that was Dude, Where's My Car?
That could also be a Dude, Where's My Car? Yeah. I've got the DVD somewhere around here. Maybe we could have a watch party for that as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah, maybe hilarious. That was a deleted scene you cut there, Lee. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was Mike Myers. Maybe it was a Mike Myers movie.
Okay. Hmm. Well, you think that over. Let's actually hit the beach and read some of your emails that you guys sent in. You got some questions and comments for us. You got the first one to ask.
No dunks. I was thinking about the listener who is frustrated with the lack of Clippers talk on your show. As a Michigan native and Pistons fan, all I could think about was the fact that I hope you all don't talk about my team because there would be nothing good to say. It also reminded me of how you guys used to eulogize teams when it reached a point in the season that you deemed said team to be dead. I figured that the only way the Pistons were going to be talked about was in a eulogy this season. Then a few shows later, after we beat LA, Skeets threw out the idea that the Pistons might not be the worst team in the league after all. It felt like high praise. With that said, if you had to declare one team dead right now, who would it be and what would you include in their eulogy? That's from Mike in Spring Lake, Michigan. Thanks so much for the email, Mike. Skeets, what do you got?
Dearly beloved, we gather here today to honor the memory of the 2020-21 Detroit Pistons.
Yes!
They played hard, but they still sucked. 5-16. The only team worse than them right now as of recording this on Wednesday are the Wizards, who only have 4 wins. The Pistons, though, they're bad. And this is fine. Heading into the season, we said they should be bad. If anything, they need another good pick. They're bad offensively. They're bad defensively. But the good things they got going for them, Jeremy Grant, obviously a potential most improved player. He'll finish top three. You can basically lock that in. He could win it. He's averaging 24 points per game. That's nice. Wayne Ellington, remember him? Guy can't miss from three. Shooting like 50% from distance. And look, you're going to hope... Around the deadline, you're still trading Derrick Rose for something in return. Maybe Blake Griffin for something in return. Your rookies that you got, they've shown flashes. I'll go that far. You know, Bay and Stewart and Killian Hayes before the injury. Flashes. DeLon Wright, I've always liked him. Former Raptor. He's played, he's had a handful of decent games for them. And that's about it. I'm saying rest in peace to the Pistons because there will not be a lot of us talking about them, I think, as the season goes on. Maybe around the deadline when some deals get made. Should have kept Christian Wood, probably. Yeah, definitely. Bit better than the Plum Dog, but, you know, they at least try, as I said, Tass. They do put up an effort. You know, Dwayne Casey's your coach. You're going to pound the rock a little bit. You're going to at least give it a go. They just don't really have the talent, and they got a young team, and that's, again, totally fine. But Mike in Spring Lake, Michigan, your team is dead. And you know it. I know it. We all know it.
Does your buddy Grish know it?
Yeah, he knows it. Yeah, my buddy Grisha, a Pistons fan. Though he's like Lee Ellis, he's a fan of all 30 teams, it feels like, in the league. But yes.
It doesn't hurt to hedge.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that's my team. That's the eulogy I'm giving to the Detroit Pistons, even though I did have very high praise saying they may not be the worst team in the league whenever that was last week. What do you think, Trey?
Well, I was with you because when I looked at the Pistons' record, I was like, uh-oh. The Pistons might actually still be the worst team in the league. There's only three teams right now that are really dead. It's the Wizards, it's the Pistons, and it's the Timberwolves. Yeah. They might not be the worst team in the league, but one of them's going to be the worst team in the league. They're all double-digit games under 500 right now, which is pretty tough to do. You look at all these other teams, you're like, oh, the Pelicans, they've had a disappointing season. Maybe they're dead. But they're only five games under 500. You can get that back in basically a week and a half. Same for, you know, the Heat. They're 7-13. They haven't had a bunch of their guys. They don't feel dead, but no. Detroit, Washington, Minnesota. I'm sorry. I don't think you're going to be making it to the playoffs this year.
Yeah. And at least with those other teams, like who knows if Towns and when he can get back, at least he got like a star player when he's out there. Of course, the Wizards do have Beal still, although Lee's trying to trade him every day. They got Westbrook, who had obviously a monster game, you know, a couple nights ago. Like they got that. Like it's the Pistons, like, it's Jeremy Grant is by far their best player right now. I like Jeremy Grant. It's a feel-good story. I like why he even chose, obviously, to go to the Pistons and bet on himself there. But, you know, that's a step down from these other guys I'm listing here. So they are going to finish guaranteed, right, past like probably bottom three, like Trey said. Like almost that's a lock.
There's no doubt. But I think one of the reasons you said that they're not the worst team in the league is because they play entertaining games when they lose.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that's great for us as people who, you know, try and absorb every single game. They had a double OT loss to the Cavs. They had an OT loss to the Hawks. They beat the Lakers. They had another big win against the Philadelphia 76ers. They have some good losses. And that's if you can be a team at the bottom that also loses in an entertaining fashion, what else do you want? But right. Yeah, they made a lot of mistakes in the offseason. The Christian Wood thing, the five centers thing. It was strange. They gave up a lot of capital to build this roster that still needs to get younger. And it's odd reading Dwayne Casey's quotes after almost every game, basically saying, oh man, we're striving to be the Cavs. We're striving to be one of those teams that is borderline in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they could get there, but it's almost painful to read every single Casey quote because it's just yearning to be mediocre and they can't get there. They just can't get there.
Anything to add there, Lily?
Well, just that if you look at the Pistons and the Wizards, both of their teams, I think, are going to look pretty different next season because, you know, Blake and Derrick Rose and then Beal and Westbrook, you know, likely most of those guys will be on a different team. Whereas the Timberwolves, I think with Towns, Russell and Anthony Edwards, this is going to be their team for the next couple of seasons.
You know, so is that more depressing then?
Well, it's certainly disappointing. It's been a rough season for Karl Anthony Towns. He came in with a heavy heart. It didn't get off to a good start, and he's been out with COVID. He's out again tonight. Not exactly sure when he's coming back, but you sort of think that once these guys play a little bit of time together, spend a bit of time together, they'll be better than they are right now. But it's been a rough, rough season there for the Timberwolves. Just tough watching them. Not a ton of talent, but they've sort of, you can sort of see their future going through, you know, starting with these three guys. And Edwards has been good. Anthony, I think, you know, when you look at this draft class, maybe he'll win Rookie of the Year, maybe he won't, but he certainly hasn't been a bust there at number one. I think they made the right choice to take him with that first pick. But it's been some other factors, I think, contributing to the Wolves there. Whereas the Pistons and the Wizards, I think they've got some big personnel changes coming up.
Going in a slightly different direction, I hope the Knicks play dead. I know they're not dead, but I would like them to just dive to the bottom of the Eastern Conference because I think they're sort of maxed out with where they are because I don't think they have a ton of scoring, a ton of offense. You can hope Kevin Knox is that guy or Mitchell Robinson is that guy, but I think where they are right now and how they're playing so well for Tom Thibodeau, 11th in the East, yeah, they're vying for a play-in spot, not a playoff spot, a play-in mm-hmm. spot, but they're kind of maxed out. I think they should try and improve their team through the draft because I just don't see them getting much better with what they got right now. And yeah, you can try and get a free agent or something, but this is the time just to be bad. Just plummet now, dive down, and then so you can shoot back up, because it's I just wonder where they go from here, because I just don't see their young talent really elevating them, and they're playing their heads. They're playing so well for Tom Thibodeau. I want the Knicks to be good, and they've actually started playing really well. So I kind of just want them to use those draft picks that they have, whether it's Fade for Cade Cunningham, just somebody, because this is a really, really good draft. And it would suck for the Knicks if they end up being, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th pick when they actually have their pick. And
they got that Mavericks pick too, and they're tanking. Not meaning to, but
they do. Yeah. I noticed that too. That would be crazy if that Mavericks pick was higher, you know, a better pick than their pick. But yeah, they got options now. So I wouldn't mind seeing them, just getting good. I'm one of those guys that wants to see Madison Square basketball be good every year. And it has been this year.
How about Mavs pick and Knicks pick for Bradley Beal? Sorry to step on your toes here, Lee, but come on. That gets the garden rocking. Bradley Beal and MSG making it to the play-in tournament. It'll be exciting times.
Oh, I would love to see that, actually. That'd be great.
You'd like what? Beal in a Knicks uniform?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your favorite player on your favorite team. What a surprise.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next one here. Sorry to, again, Mike in Michigan there. Pistons are done. He knows it, though. Next one. Hey, guys, straight up. Who's your underrated signing of the season so far? You know, someone who's contributing positively to their team more than you anticipated in the preseason or in the offseason. I'm throwing Nick Batum's name in the ring. Turn up, insert rhyming in-joke here. That's from Simon in the other Stratford, England. Shout out to Stratford, Ontario, of course, as well. But, Tass, that's a good question. Underrated signing of the season, someone we maybe slept on when we were doing our our season preview type of shows.
I love the Nick Batum pick. It's phenomenal. I mean, he goes from last year being extremely overpaid as the number one option in Charlotte to now being in the same role where he was in Portland once upon a time. Feels so long ago. He was kind of the number three guy behind LaMarcus Aldridge and Brandon Roy for a while, then LaMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard, and he just fits so much better in that role. He kind of lucked into the starter spot there because Marcus Morris went down at the beginning of the season. Now he's money in the bank, shooting 46% from three, a career high. Will that come back down to earth? Will the Clippers shooting come back down to earth? Because that's happening across the board. It seems like there's going to be a regression across the board with the Clippers and how well they shoot. Because there's always the question, can a jump shooting team win an NBA championship? Well, the Warriors proved, obviously, you can. The Dallas Mavericks actually shot more jumpers than them when they won the championship. But the Clippers are even more of a jump shooting team than those two teams. Those two teams got to the rim a lot more. It's a great write up in the score by Joe Wolfend about the Clippers and how they might regress. That being said, Nick Batum is balling. He just looks like a different man. I don't know if it's a French thing like Boris Dia. You kind of just got to be on good teams to play well. But he plays so much better with good players around him, and he's just not a number one guy. But he's the perfect set you up type guy. Like he's a good passer. He just knows where to make the right pass. But he couldn't thrive as a number one guy. So the Nick Batum thing going from, he was the number one player in Charlotte, but he was almost an afterthought in the NBA world for several years now, since he signed that contract, other than him being a quote unquote bad contract. So pumped for Nick Batum to be in that role.
Tass, I got to ask, because I remember I saw somebody in the comments say, on today's What You Need to Know, did Melis refer to the Clippers' big three as Kawhi, Paul George, and Nick Batum? Is that a thing that actually happened? Jokingly or not, you're all in on Batum.
No, I'm not all in. I said the big three of the Los Angeles Clippers in this one, Kawhi, Paul George, and Nick Batum. You know, right. I added a little asterisk and right. for nice. This instance. Nicely done. But who has a big three to match up with the Brooklyn Nets? Like that. Nobody.
No.
Nobody. Mm-hmm. Nobody has three. Nobody has a one monster, a monster one, a monster two, and a monster three like that. So there's just nobody
please,
that
please.
Can do
it. One A and one B in Brooklyn. Okay, so you're all in on Batum. Yeah, like shocking.
Being good. I mean, he could go back. Marcus Morris lost his starting spot. It could go back to Marcus Morris. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's just a complimentary guy and a good one at that. It doesn't mean he's going to be the third best player. He's just good again. He just can play basketball again when he was nothing in Charlotte, which is strange to say with how talented he is.
Lee, who do you have as an underrated signing?
Well, does Christian Wood count as a free agent signing? I mean, he was signed and traded.
That counts.
Sure. Close enough.
Yeah, he's been excellent for the Houston Rockets. I mean, as he sits right now today, he's 23-11. And he's also knocking down three-pointers as well. So he's been just a revelation down there in Houston. Right now, most improved player based on those numbers alone, he's certainly going to be in that conversation. He's been great. Can he keep it up? Can he sustain it? Because he's a guy who's bounced around a little bit already in his early career. So it's almost a bit like Hassan Whiteside. You know, he was sort of in and out of the league a little bit, goes to Miami, plays incredibly well, and gets a huge contract out of it. So you know, Christian Wood, I think it was like a 3-year, $40 million deal he signed in the end there with the Rockets. And it was kind of like, you know, they didn't give up anything to really do it. They just had to do it as for a transaction. But I think he's certainly outperformed the expectations on him so far.
It's a good one. Who do you have, Trey?
Yeah, I'm with Lee. I think Christian Wood was the steal of free agency. That's a franchise guy that the Rockets got at a position of need. And the reason it's different from Hassan Whiteside is, like, even when Hassan Whiteside was having his big seasons, he just looked like a big slow guy out there who was able to throw his body around, not a modern player. Christian Wood looks like the start of whatever the next era of the Rockets is going to be. So I'm 100% in on that. And also throw a little bone to the Knicks. Who knows? Austin Rivers, I would think he's averaging more than 9 points per game. He signed like a 3-year, $9 million deal, basically. But he had a 10-for-10, 25-point half. He had a 5-for-5, 14 straight points in the fourth quarter to win a game for the Knicks. Austin Rivers was a guy we didn't talk about at all in the offseason. He's had two great moments for the Knicks. The Knicks are a little bit back. Maybe they'll be less back as the season goes on. But Austin Rivers is doing his thing. Somebody's going to take a chance on him. He'll probably help a playoff team again at some point. For whatever reason, I'm convinced that there's a playoff Austin Rivers. I don't know. He's making magic happen in New York, and it's looking all right.
He's not really underrated, but I'll just throw some love to a guy that signed a massive deal, and all of us went, what are you doing? That's a dumb move there, MJ. And it's Gordon Hayward signing with Charlotte Hornets. He's been great. I mean, he absolutely has lived up to that contract, early in the season. For sure, he looks like a one guy, and they're winning some games, too. So that's not underrated by any means, but definitely shut up a lot of us saying, what are you doing, Gordon Hayward? I think he maybe's lost a step. Well, if anything, he's sort of back to like Jazz Gordon Hayward with the numbers he's putting up and the efficiency and just like getting back. He looks like a little more explosive too. So obviously he's a little more healthy. So just a little love there to Gordon Hayward and his barber.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hello, this is one that started swirling around my brain after watching Rockets Warriors. Which current team would be the most dominant or generally fun if all of its current players were the peak versions of themselves from their careers? Have a good life. That's from Matt B. Yeah, you too. Have a good life, Matt. Trey, what do you think?
Hey, have a good life. That's just a nice thing to say. That's a nice sign off right there. But no surprise, the teams that are very good right now would have been still very good if their players were in their prime. Take the Lakers. You like a front court of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Marc Gasol in their primes? That's four MVPs. Only one scoring title, one assist title, but six NBA titles, 11 all defensive teams, one defensive player of the year. Schroeder, Harrell, KCP, maybe they're in their primes. Kuzma and Caruso, they're close. You're getting an upgraded Wes Matthews, Utah Wes Matthews. That's an improvement. I don't know what the best Jared Dudley is, but that's probably a very good team. No surprise. The Nets also are going to be incredible. KD, Harden, and Kyrie, that's 7 scoring titles, 2 MVPs, 3 titles, 1 assist title. You get a huge bump, though, for DeAndre Jordan, who in his prime was a 2-time all-defense player, led the league in rebounding 2 times, led the league in field goal percentage 5 straight seasons. And you get whatever the best Jeff Green is. He's always in his prime. He's never in his prime. When he's a number 5 pick, he looks like a bust. But now that he's a number 5 pick in the 13th year of his career, you're like, wow, this is impressive to have that kind of a career. I love it. Those are a couple of classics, obviously. Rockets, I think, are interesting. John Wall, Victor Oladipo, both all NBA players in their prime. Same with DeMarcus Cousins. Christian Wood, balling right now. You're getting your best PJ Tucker. You're getting Tass's favorite Eric Gordon on the Clippers, leading the league in fourth quarter points. Oh, the Warriors, they won a title with Steph, Clay, and Draymond at their peaks. You're getting whatever the best Andrew Wiggins is, the best Oubre, the best Bazemore. They've all had better seasons in the past. Maybe Wiggins is having his most impactful season. And the Nuggets are another one that's interesting. MVP Jokic, Bubble Murray, All-Star Paul Millsap, future Michael Porter Jr., past Gary Harris. There's a good team there, but I'm going with the Nets. KD, Harden, and Kyrie, an incredible threesome, especially if they're in their prime, plus that huge bump for DeAndre Jordan, who was a really good player back in the day.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Nets. I like you taking us through those other teams, though, too. Mm. What about maybe the Clippers, like a Serge and Lou Williams, in their prime Kawhi, to pair, obviously, with Kawhi and Paul George? Man, it's obviously a good team.
I was thinking if it was 2011 and you had Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin on the same team.
Oh, that's not bad. That's really good to pair with all their young guys on that squad. Man, that's a really good one. I like that one. Anything else to add, Tess?
No, you guys cover them, but also for the future Charlotte Hornets. How good is LaMelo Ball and Miles Bridges and PJ Washington? How good are they going to be? You know, it really blows your mind. They're not really anybody that's too past their prime, other than Gordon Hayward, a little past his prime. But yeah, that's. I believe in those Hornets. They're not going to die. You know, I believe that they all have a future, but how high is that ceiling? Who the heck knows?
Well, speaking of LaMelo Ball, next question. Dear No Dunks, I have seen many Jason Williams mixtapes. It's like an awesome humble brag. And I just watched a 4-minute video of LaMelo Ball's no look assists on the NBA's YouTube channel. Ball has played like 20 games so far. White chocolate played nearly 800. When it's all said and done, is LaMelo going to supersede Jason Williams as the flashiest passer to play in the NBA? Or has it already happened in just 20 games? Cheers from Switzerland. That's from JP. So Lee, LaMelo, early on in his rookie season, is he already a flashier passer than white chocolate?
JP, please, come on. I'm guilty more than anybody else of just getting carried away in the moment. Every night I'm like, oh, that was a game of the night last night for the season. There is no way LaMelo Ball has already passed Jason Williams in his career's flashiest passer. Now, maybe he will. If he plays 15 seasons and he continues to play at this level, it's possible, okay? It is possible. But right now, if you go to the NBA's YouTube channel and you just put in Jason Williams highlights, you get Jason Williams' most amazing passes, 6.4 million views 1 year ago. Jason Williams' 45 best plays on his birthday. Now, that's only got 239,000 views from 2 months ago. That went up. Then you've got Jason Williams' top 10 career plays. That's 16 million from 6 years ago. Then you've got Jason Williams' ultimate Sacramento Kings highlight mix. That's got 5 million views. So Jason Williams. Now, a lot of these highlights overlap. There's no doubt about it because you kind of got a passing Jason Williams. And then you've got just some other plays. That time that he crossed up Gary Payton, one of the most famous Jason Williams moments in time, because Gary Payton at the end of that play is kind of laughing at him going, man, you got me, man, you got me. It was awesome. So Jason Williams, I tell you what, if you ever want to just waste like 2 hours on YouTube, just keep watching every single highlight video that comes up, even if you're watching again and again and again. It is awesome because he was so much fun to watch. And some of those passes that he throws to Chris Webber, especially, he throws a couple to Lawrence Funderburk, to big nasty Corliss Williamson.
Do you think he's the flashiest passer in NBA history, Jason Williams, Lee?
I mean, like,
Very subjective in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like
Magic Johnson was
actually Magic Johnson was flashy, but I don't even think Magic had as many, like Jason Williams does those ones where he's coming down. It's almost like he just sort of pokes the ball sometimes. He does that one where he jumps in the air and throws it behind his head. Mm-hmm. Like Magic in those Showtime Lakers at full speed would make some crazy passes, but they were more kind of direct, if you know what I mean. Like Jason Williams was more like he would add some hot sauce on his passes, like behind the back, around the back. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Like Magic's were like laser passes, whereas Jason Williams was super flashy. But he was so much fun to watch because we often talk about players if they played in the social media period, and Jason Williams didn't really do that, but he lives on because his highlights are just so awesome to watch. I never ever skip over, like on the Instagram, if his highlights come up, I'm always like, oh, I'm watching them again. I don't care. I've seen them a million times because they're so much fun to watch.
Trey, do you think Jason Williams is the flashiest passer in NBA history? If not, who is? And do you think it could even go to LaMelo already, 20 games?
I would not be surprised if we see more LaMelo Ball highlight tapes because, like you're saying, we're a month into his career and there's already a super cut of no-look passes. You could have done the same for Jason Williams back in the day. We just didn't have YouTube the way we did, where everybody's going to be chopping his highlights up. Think about all of the lost random passes that have happened for guys like Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Jason Williams, obviously, that, you know, somebody misses a layup, but it's still an incredible behind-the-back, between-the-legs pass, and it just goes lost forever because nobody's going back and watching his 14th career game, right? Mm-hmm. So those exist out there. We might have more LaMelo, but the one I got to throw into the mix, Lee, I'm surprised you didn't bring it up, is Pistol Pete, the original Jason Williams, who, as far as I'm concerned, is the only guy to do the pass where the ball comes up and you just spin your hand around it and then pop it over to the side. I don't know why that doesn't happen anymore. It seems to be a little bit illegal for the punching of the ball reason, but that's a very weird pass. If LaMelo pulls that up, I will elevate him perhaps above Jason Williams.
Good call. I did overlook Pistol Pete, sadly.
Yes.
How could you forget, mate? I only see it in the stream team here. They're all over the Pistol Pete.
That's good. What do you think, Tess, about this email here from JP?
Well, I think that Pistol Pete move where he throws his hand around the ball, I think that's a dad move. I mean,
totally.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm a magician. Watch this, kid. Yeah. You throw your hand around the ball. Cool move. I think in the end, LaMelo Ball is going to have more views on YouTube than Jason Williams. No, partly because we're YouTubing right now. I didn't even realize that the NBA just posts random Jason Williams clips every once in a while. Lee just informed me of something. Every birthday, we get a Jason Williams pack. Sure, but yeah, I think LaMelo lives for it, just like Jason Williams does. Like every time, every minute he's on the floor and he's coming off the bench through most of his games here, he's still able to generate those videos. So I think he's going to have more views. Is he going to have as long a career and be as good as Jason Williams? That's a fair question. He still has to be a starter in this league and be able to do that and be able to stay on the floor. So that's going to be a hindrance to him being the overtaking Jason Williams as the flashiest. But yeah, Jason Williams still holds the title in my mind.
What's LaMelo Ball's best pass so far this season, Lily? Does one come to mind? Well, he's thrown a ton of oops.
Yeah.
And some of wow, he's just like whipping it up there, you know, variation. I get that. That's awesome. I love it. But like, is there one that like sticks out to you?
Well, the preseason one where he spun it. Remember that one?
Yeah.
I would say that's his flashiest pass that I've seen.
Okay.
He's made some beautiful ones, but that one was like real sexy. You know, like if you get that one
to that pass,
if you get that one wrong, that could be like, all right, rookie, come on, just calm down a little bit. But he didn't. He got it perfectly on the spot. So now he's got that confidence that you're gonna see a couple.
Now
of
Now he's got that confidence. That's one thing this kid's never lacked is confidence.
Yeah, sure. I what I mean is you're gonna see him at some point throw one of those that does miss by a mile. You know, and it might be at a crucial moment of the game too. But it's fun. It's fun. And like, I think like Tass is saying there, I think overall, LaMelo might even overtake Jason Williams in the next year or two as far as YouTube highlights, just because he's going to be up there. But
wow, Jay, we are really into the YouTube metrics, eh? Yeah, we're trying to get to 30,000.
Yeah.
30,000 YouTube mentions by the end of this show. Another great LaMelo pass was the full court outlet, right, that Gordon Hayward caught on the baseline, hit a little 12-footer. Hilarious finish. But the thing I love that you see in all of his highlight packs, I feel like, jump passes. Coaches must hate it, right? Yeah. James Borrego was saying he turns the ball over a lot. And like you're saying, it's going to happen at some point where he tries and pulls off these passes that you shouldn't be making. But that's why we get the highlights. The guy has mastered the jump pass, getting in the air, switching hands, figuring out which way to get it around somebody. Good stuff.
LaMelo is awesome. He's fun to watch. Fire up those YouTube highlights. But he's not the flashiest passer in the league right now. I think it's Jokic above him.
Hmm.
Right? I mean, I know totally different positions, the way they go about it, different types of passes, but flashy passes. I'm surprised he didn't go to bat for, dropping a deuce from Campazzo there through the legs there. I think it's Jokic, in all honesty, like right now. I'm not saying LaMelo can't take that title as the flashiest passer, but...
Did you guys see, I tweeted out yesterday, it was going around, Milos Teodosic out in Italy, bounce one off his head during a game last night. Like,
amazing.
You want him back in the league just for that.
Oh, my God. I'd love him back in the league. That would be the second best ball head moment we've had in the league, or third best, in fact. Maybe there's a top five there. Maybe I shouldn't reveal it. Maybe we can do a top five ball head moments.
Ball head moments.
Yeah.
Ball head moments.
Okay, so I'm assuming Jason Richardson off of Carlos Boozer's dome in the Rising Stars game, whatever the heck they called it. Okay, I'm trying to think what
lady
else.
Lady looking at her phone in the stands, gets smacked right in the face, whoopsie of the year once upon a time.
Yeah.
Right.
That's and then the other one I think was a preseason game where I think a player got a technical foul for what he did, but it was a bit of a start. Which one?
Well, there was that somebody got tossed for like it was sort of a headbutt, right?
It was one of the Morris brothers.
And he
just whacked Justin Anderson on the head.
Yeah, with the ball. Yeah, that's it. That's what I was thinking of. Okay, can't wait for the top five.
Top five doinkers. We need those. Mm. There was one that kind of went under the radar last week when the whole Klay Thompson, Rodney Magruder thing happened. Draymond Green threw one right off Steph Curry's face. Mm. But it didn't really pick up a lot of traction. It'll be in whoopsies this week. But I don't think there are any replays out there. But like LaMelo Ball, I mean, he is an Instagram kid, right? Like he grew up watching this stuff. So even I get what you're saying, Skeets, like there are flashier passers in the league, but he grew up watching these highlights. So every pass he makes, he just looks the other way. Like he just knows how to sell it.
Oh, sure.
So.
For sure.
Yeah, House of Highlights. They'll be aggregating that, bro. That's for sure. Next one here. Hi, No Dunks. I saw that John Stewart is now on Twitter and the only account he follows is Arby's.
What?
It's true. I looked this up. I couldn't believe it. I thought, maybe there was a screen grab that he followed Arby's, but he still continues to follow Arby's and only Arby's. It's amazing. Guess he heard Big Beef is back. Naturally, I thought of you guys when I read it. So she read that in an article, but she wasn't looking at John Stewart's Twitter. Anyways, doesn't matter. What's something seemingly unrelated you can't help but associate together, like John Stewart and Arby's? Thanks. That's from Samantha. Skeets, what do you think?
Chinese food and coffee. Specifically, New Sky Chinese Food in Toronto and Coffee Time down the street in Toronto. Tass and Trey might know what I'm talking about. For whatever reason, when we were younger and we would go out and party with the friends up in Toronto, we would then, let's say once a month, it felt like, maybe twice a month for crying out loud, we would end up at New Sky Chinese restaurant in Toronto at like 1, 2, 3 in the morning to eat a bunch of obviously cheap Chinese food, to coat the stomach of all that alcohol, have a blast. Some of my favorite times were had in that New Sky out of that giant table in the back. And for whatever reason, our buddy Daryl, it sort of started to become a weird bit where, again, this is very late at night. Drinks have been had. We've had some fun. He would get up. We would all sit down at this big table, start ordering the Chinese food. That's going to be a while because they got to make it and all that. And you're in no rush. I mean, it's already 3 in the morning. Who cares? But he would get up. I think he would take off a shoe or two. And then he would go down the street to Coffee Time. Tess, you remember what I'm talking about here? buy like some day old bagels or muffins or whatever they had that was like they were going to throw out, and you buy some crappy coffee. Coffee Time, by the way, is not a great coffee chain. I mean, it is bootleg coffee store. Anyway, Daryl would just bring that back. Now, you're probably wondering, like, was he taking orders? Who wanted it? No, never. He would just get up, go and get it, and then come back. And sure enough, somebody would drink this, like, stale coffee. Somebody would have maybe a stale donut or something. It was the weirdest thing. It happened all the time. But every time I have Chinese food, I think, oh, man, I could really go for, like, a coffee and a donut right now with this. Because it's the weirdest thing. So, that's my strange, like, two things that just for whatever reason in my head, I have to associate together.
No, I was never there for Daryl pulling this off, but it lives in Daryl lore. It just makes sense that Daryl would do it. And he's just taking care of the fam, really.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people just want bad coffee, I guess, at 4 in the morning. I don't know. I mean,
people would drink it. That was the weird thing. It was strange. And again, I slipped it in there. He would always take off a shoe and walk in his socks down the street to get the coffee and bring it back. I swear I'm not making that up. He at least did that once. Maybe he did it twice. I don't know. Maybe the second time was a joke. But yeah, coffee and day-old donuts, Lili. Would you like that with late-night Chinese food?
Oh, no. Oh,
no?
No way.
Oh, you're not living, man. Shout out to Sonny. Shout out to Wendy. Shout out to Johnny at New Sky. I hope he's still open. If you're in the stream team right now and you live in Toronto, let me know if New Sky is still open. I'm a little worried that it's not, but I hope it is.
Coffee Time.
They'll be if Coffee Time still open.
Coffee Time, yeah, it probably does. Coffee Time and Country Style. Nobody wants them, but they're there.
Yeah, they just look like the coffee.
Everyone's doing pretty well.
Yeah, they look like the coffee shops that just like look caked in nicotine. It's the only way I can describe them for those that don't know. I forgot about Country Time. Good call, Tass. Yeah, a very similar chain. All right, so Trey, that's my answer. What do you have?
That's too good. I don't know. I don't really want to follow up, but I know you got my back, Skeets. You think sometimes about the fact that Tim Duncan's brother was a cameraman on the first however many seasons of Survivor, and you'll never forget it. You're never going to forget about Tim Duncan's brother being a Survivor cameraman. What a legendary factoid to have in your brain if you're a Survivor and NBA fan. No one else cares. Nobody else cares. If you are talking to a Spurs fan and you're like, yeah, guess what? Tim Duncan's brother was a cameraman for Survivor. They don't care. If you're talking to a Survivor fan, you say, one of the cameraman's brother was one of the greatest NBA players. They don't care, but it's true.
Yeah. He's got a crazy cool look, too.
He's got a great look.
Tim's brother. Yeah. I forget his name. I'm drawing a blank on that. That's a great one. JD, you knew that fact, right? You knew the Tim Duncan Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Little factoid there.
That's a great one.
It's a perfect one. Venn diagram for the NBA and Survivor people
Absolutely.
Out there.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Lee, do you have an answer?
I do. It's a bit of a long one. do you want it?
are you asking for real?
Well, yeah.
It's not a good one.
Well, it's a deep one. It's a deep one. I was thinking about this yesterday because... all right, here we go. I'm
poised over the cool story, bro. So go ahead.
Well, so it was Athens Olympics 2004. Tass was there. I was there. And I was flying back.
Said that so many times.
I was flying back to London. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I had a connection through Geneva. So Athens to Geneva, no problems. Get on the plane in Geneva, ready to go back to London. It's about, I don't know, 2 hours or something like that. And Geneva Airport's right near Lake Geneva. So you take off and, you know, when you're in a plane, you can feel a plane as it sort of sucks the air in and as it ascends and it levels out, right?
Okay.
Well, I know. I don't know if it's going to be interesting or not, this story. But anyway, I was in the plane and you could sort of just feel that the plane wasn't really rising like it normally does. You could just sort of feel there wasn't that sort of traction in the air. And you know how usually the pilot will come on and say, you know, we're up at 30,000 feet, we'll be leveling out, we'll land into London in such and such, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That just didn't happen. And so for about half an hour, we were sort of just like in this position, you know, like in a diagonal position, sort of trying to rise, and we just couldn't.
Right.
And you could sort of feel like some tension in the cabin there because people were kind of like, why haven't we, you know, why haven't we sort of evened out yet? And why aren't we really just soaring through the air like a plane normally does? And I know.
I just like to imagine someone hitting the little button to ask, you know.
Well, that's the thing. There was no.
Why aren't we soaring through the air like one does?
You know, the flight attendants weren't walking up and down. There was just nothing happening, and the pilots weren't communicating everything. And then all of a sudden, they just said, "Yeah, we've got some engine troubles. We're gonna have to go back to Geneva."
Oh.
And so I was like, okay, that doesn't surprise me because something was feeling off. And so anyway, they had to turn around and basically land and come back over Lake Geneva, right? Yeah. And so, as I said, like, we couldn't feel the plane soaring to rise. And then when we were coming into land, it felt like we were almost floating or gliding as well. Like, it just felt like the plane wasn't, like, just approaching the runway as it normally was. And so, eventually, we landed, and there was just a huge sigh of relief in the cabin. You could hear people just be like, oh, we don't know what happened, but something was wrong there. And the pilot's just like, oh, we had some engine problems. We're going to have to get everyone on the next flight. And so... we got into the airport and everyone tried to sort of, you know, get onto the next flight as possible. And when I went up to rebook my flight, mm-hmm. I saw a printout on the side and it said there was a fire in one of the engines and they had to shut the engine down. Now, there weren't flames coming out. I think it must have been, you know, something happening there. But it sort of, it confirmed what I thought, that like we were probably flying on one engine
right.
up there.
Right.
Right. And then coming in to land, I don't know if that was affected as well, but it just felt like there just wasn't much power. And so anyway, you know, I was...
Please tell me you're going to end this by any time I eat Swiss cheese.
No, it's not that, but it's unfortunately, I sort of... any time someone says Geneva or you know, Switzerland, I'm just kind of like, there's something... I don't want to go there, even though it's got nothing to do with them. It's the plane, you know? It's British Airways, it was. They're the ones who... but it was fine. It wasn't dangerous. It was just like one of those ones. You know, I've flown around a bit. I've been in the air a few times.
You soared for sure.
And that was that one time where it was just sort of like, what is happening? No one's telling us what's happening, but you can just feel something's wrong. And again, there was like, you're sort of looking around the cabin and everyone's kind of like, is this it? Maybe? I mean, probably not, but...
Did you start sweating when I said,
yeah.
I read that email, Cheers from Switzerland by JP earlier?
No, I was sweating on the plane though. I definitely was sweating on the plane.
Oh, that sounds scary for sure.
Oh, it was because it was that silence, the deafening silence coming from the cockpit and the flight deck.
What would you have preferred? Mm. Like Mrs. Doubtfire playing on the flight?
You just wanted someone to say something and no one was saying anything. So, you know, your mind starts wandering a bit. And you know, you try to close your eyes. You think, oh, we'll be fine, but it just never happened. And then eventually, it was like, turn around, okay, let's go back to the airport. And everyone's like, yeah, let's do it. And then, but we weren't out of the woods because we had to come back down over the lake. And I was like, oh my god, get me off this plane. But the weird thing about humans is, like, everyone was like crapping their pants on the plane, but as soon as we touched down, everyone was desperate to get on the next flight to get home. Right? Mm. So they were like, all right, yeah, we survived that one, just put us on the next one, let's get out of here.
There can't be two bad planes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly.
We did hear it back in Athens. They sent the report back that the flight that left, we heard about it immediately. Luckily, everything was all right.
Who was your pilot on that flight? Was it Daryl Brown?
Could have been.
Stale donuts and coffee up there.
The pilot just wasn't, you know, I guess before we took off, he probably said his name, but then once we're in the air, it was like,
Who cares your name? Just
the weird thing about Humans is, Human... That's another pilot
that's
we know.
Good,
is that right, JD?
That's a good inside joke right there.
Yeah. Yes.
Well played.
We know a pilot named Human.
Yeah. That's the story.
And so you jumped on the next flight. Is that right, Lee?
Well, like I waited. Yeah, I was in Geneva for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours or something because people, you know, again, like everyone has a sort of a near-death experience. As soon as they get into the terminal, people just push and shove and try to get on
that
first. Yeah, yeah.
You didn't go see the lake for a bit or what?
What's that?
You didn't go see the lake for a couple hours?
Oh, no. I just had a couple of aperitifs in the airport bar. But the funny thing was, you know, again, like I saw the printout on one of those really old like printers, you know, that had the little the things on the things that you tear off on the side.
Yeah, the
and
dot it just matrix.
Fire in the engine, and I was just like, oh my god! Like someone's just peeled that off and just going, okay, all right, where do you want to go to? Where are you heading to? You know.
Hey, let me check this printout here. What?
Yeah, I know. But I mean, it wasn't. This is 2004, and remember that Concorde plane, the Air France one that crashed, that had the big flames coming out the side. Like when you see there was a fire in an engine, and you're just like, did I miss seeing like the big flames coming out the side? I mean, you know, but I don't think so. I think what had happened was it just, you know, the engine had an automatic fire extinguisher shut itself down, and they just had to cruise on the one engine. That's what I'm guessing happened. So if
JD, your brother's a pilot. I mean, I assume it's not common, but it does happen where a plane loses one of the engines, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's why they have two. But then again, my brother, I was his first passenger when he was just learning, and I was like, should I be nervous that there's only one engine on this plane? And then he's like, don't worry about that. A second engine just takes you to the crash site faster, right? If you lose one, then the other one is just speeds you to your doom, basically. So he might have just been saying that to make me feel better about there only being one engine. But yeah, shout out to those pilots. They saved your life, Lee.
Yeah, they did. They did a fantastic job, you know.
You just would have liked a little more communication.
Yeah, I just said, yeah.
This is your captain speaking. If you look out the left, you'll see a fire in the engine.
Yeah.
Imagine, if you just look past the fire in the engine, you'll see beautiful Lake Geneva.
He said, if you're on the left-hand side of the plane, just put your window shades down. If you're on the right, look out the window. It's beautiful out there today, right now. Country.
All right. Any other answers for this one? Any other long or short stories that they would like to?
I'll jump in here. It won't take too long. Former baseball player Delino DeShields always reminds me of former No Dunks, the starters, the Basketball Jones producer, Matt Austin.
Yep.
I always associate the two. Now, did Matt Austin go to a Delino DeShields baseball camp, or was his favorite player just Delino DeShields, and did he model his two-bag game after Delino DeShields? It's one or the other. I'm not sure which one.
I thought he went to the camp. But that's what I thought. But I think he loved him as a player, too. Yeah.
Yeah, growing up in Montreal. And it made me think, I thought of Delino DeShields this week because my new favorite WNBA team, the Chicago Sky, one of their players is Delino DeShields' daughter, Diamond DeShields.
Wow.
Yeah. So I thought of the DeShields. I thought of Matt and Candace Parker going to the Chicago Sky after her career with the Sparks. Wild. She's going home. Tell the world she's going home. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing what they got. You know,
please,
they got a good team, Trey.
Please, Task, don't bring up Sky when Lee has just told a story about not really soaring all that well through the air. I mean, it touches home.
Man. Well, this is new Sky, Skeets. This is the new Sky. Take off your shoes, go get some bad coffee, and watch the Chicago Sky play basketball this year. Courtney Vandersloot, Ali Quigley, Diamond, Gabby Williams. Oh, yeah. Oh,
everything. Oh, yeah. Every story we share links together, guys. You just have to pay attention. That's why you have to listen to this podcast on normal speed. You can't speed it up. You would have missed that. Incredible. New Sky airplane. Wow. Daryl Brown involved in the Chinese coffee. He's a pilot. I mean, all right. Next one. Hi, No Dunks gang. Newly minted Grizzlies fan here. My beloved Sonics moved away when I was in middle school. Ja Morant is what brought me to the team, but I've come to love all the guys on the roster. Lately, Brandon Clark, a Canadian, has been... that's not me saying that, by the way. That's the person that emailed it. Has been sporting a new jumper, and it looks bad. It's truly unpleasant to look at, and his percentage from deep has dropped pretty dramatically from 36% last year to around 29% this year, though it's a much smaller sample size. Checking some tape from last season, I didn't see anything glaringly bad about his form, which made me wonder why he switched it up. So my question is, have you ever decided to just switch things up? And did it blow up in your face? Turn up, love you guys, awesome. That's from Cam in Tacoma. Trey, what do you got?
The year was 2018. It was probably September. We were showing up for a season of the starters. I hadn't had my hair cut over the summer. Lee shows up with a beard. I'm thinking, wow, Lee looks all right with a beard. I bet he'll shave it soon. The guy only does joke facial hair. A Merv Hughes stash or maybe some sideburns creeping down the neck. There's no way he's going to keep this forever. I'm not getting a haircut until Lee has a clean-shaven face. 3 years later, Lee's still rocking the George Michael. He's got long hair. I got long hair. Did it blow up in my face? I mean, that's debatable. The last season of the Starters we did, I had my worst haircut since our first season of the Starters. Last night at dinner, my daughter told me I have white hair like my dad, a legitimately 65-year-old man. She called me a white-haired dad. Oh, direct hit to the heart. But also, now I have long hair, so was it worth it? I'm not totally convinced, but I have long hair now for the first time ever. And Lee's still looking great with the beard. He's working on his ponytail. That's crazy times. I honestly never thought that you would keep your beard for this long, and I kind of got a ponytail out of it. Very weird stuff.
Wow. I can't believe that Lee is still growing the hair here. I mean, Trey does wild things with his hair, let's be honest. And it looks cool on you. Lee, I'm not saying it doesn't look cool, but I can't believe how long your hair is. Like, and I don't even think, like, doing this Zoom, the StreamYard, like, it doesn't do it justice with your headphones on you. Take your headphones off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of locks there. Look at that. Wow. Wow. But you're going to keep
like
it, eh?
Rivers Cuomo, right?
Yeah, he looks like a rocker for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it started out because of last year when we were kind of all in lockdown, and I thought, well, there's no point in getting a haircut. That's not an essential need. And now it's kind of like, this is the longest I've ever had it. And yeah, it's fine. You know, I don't mind it.
Does Roxy like it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like when you see it every day, it just sort of, it's not like it just, she woke up one day and all of a sudden I had it. It's just kind of kept growing and growing and growing. But I don't know if I said this on the show or not to you guys, but I've sort of now become like, because my wife Roxana has long hair. So sometimes when she goes into the shower, you know, like a lot of people long hair, they don't get their hair wet because it's so much maintenance to dry it.
Right.
I've become that now when I go in for a shower. I put a little ponytail up and I sometimes just wash my face and I keep my hair out of it because it takes longer to dry it now. So it's great.
Okay, so you're going to keep it.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Why not? You know, something different.
All right. It's a power. Look, we always had that one person asking you to slick your hair back. And now they're probably like, please cut your hair, but
No, they're not. They're not.
They still want you to slick it back.
They're hating it right now. They're like, I see your hair is over your ears right now. Can you push it back, please?
Yeah. Like, because you can do an awesome Pat Riley right now.
Oh, Major Riley.
For sure. Get some gel in there. What are you looking at?
Okay. When are you, Lee, when are you getting a haircut? How long has it been? When are you planning to get one? How do you keep your hair in place? Aren't you growing like a rat tail? Do you like long hair? Put more pics up.
So there's this one person that's like really into your hair.
Yeah. It's like incredible. Incredible. You should post a front face photo so we can see the slick back hairstyle look. Do you like the hairstyle? Do you use gel every day and how do you keep it down? Hope you reply.
It's the creepiest fetish of all time. Someone's just into your slick hair.
Oh my god, it is.
But, so you don't wash it too often though, right, Lee? Because I think the natural oils keep it down as well. You might want to tell that guy that too.
I mean, I wash it. I definitely wash it twice a week. Yeah, because you know, if you're out that's exercising, running, and sweaty, and that, I'm not like Trey. You're not a big washer even after sweating, Trey, are you?
I need the oils myself. That's part of the reason why Ada will say I've got white hair, because the grays, for whatever reason, they float more. So it feels like they take up more space on my head. So yeah, I got to keep them grimy for the coolness factor.
Right. And Lee, you can get away with not washing your hair in the winter here in Atlanta, maybe just twice a week. It'll be interesting when it comes summer if you continue to do that.
Yeah.
Gonna be stinky.
Yeah, it's sweaty and from as soon as you go outside,
just walking,
it's hot and humid.
Yeah, just going outside, you're sweating. So okay, I can't wait to follow this development. I love that this person is still asking you about your hair. I don't know why this kills me. That's like feels like 3 years running. Am I crazy, Lee? Like,
well, I mean, I think it probably started, I guess, last year. Let me see
if it feels longer to me. Yeah. Don't worry about it. You don't need to check the whole thing. All right. Yeah, Tass, do you have an answer for this one?
Not a good one. Okay. But yeah, we can move on from mine.
Okay, let's just move on. I don't. I think Lee, do you have? I can't remember if we asked you at this point, but
what's this one? I'll blow it in my face. Up. Yeah. Well, when we had our first child, you know, like any new parents, you know, those first 6 weeks, 8 weeks are really, really tough. You're trying to get at sleep schedules and things like that, and especially if your wife is breastfeeding, and mine was, and so she would be breastfeeding at night, and I tried to be the attentive husband, so I'd be up there, you know, while she's breastfeeding to be with her. And so what I did for a couple of days is I went to bed at about like 7:30 at night, hoping to fall asleep so I'd be, you know, fresh overnight for the breastfeeding. It didn't work at all. I just was tired all the time and cranky, and so yeah, nothing worked. It was awful.
Okay. Oh man, you are on fire when we hit the beach, I'm telling you, man. My answer for switching things up is just anytime. Like, I am a guy that finds a restaurant, finds an order at that restaurant that I like, and then I'll never switch it. Because I'm like, why would I risk trying something else? I may not like it as much as I love this particular meal at this particular place. Nora can't stand that about me. But I'm not switching it up. And anytime I ever have gotten a little wild, order something else, it's never as good. It's never as good. So don't do it.
Come on.
No.
Live a little. Because guess what? The next time you ordered, it was still there. You could get the next one you wanted.
Yeah, but I wasted a good meal.
Yeah, but you expanded your brain.
No, I didn't. That's what people think. They want you to think that. If you find something you love, run with it, man. Just run with it. It's fine. It's
some
okay.
Some of us play to our strengths. Some of us explore. That's how it works for you. Good point. I like it. Either way, we're getting content out of it, so it's good order.
That's true. All right. Well, we got
speaking of orders, we're going to Agora tonight. Ordering Agora. Usually it's just a meat order, but I remember Lee used to get the falafel there because the meats are, you know, they're fine. They're meaty. I'm going falafel. I'm going off the board for me.
Okay.
Usually a meat man there at Agora because they've got the meats are decent, but it's too much meat. Anyways, I'm changing it up, Skeets. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm
but you're changing
you.
It up, but it sounds like you weren't in love with those meat dishes you were having. That's my thing.
That's true. Me and the meats were not in love. No.
Right.
So, yeah. But yeah.
Well, maybe the falafel will be your go-to order at this place. I hope it is.
Maybe it's because this podcast is just full of laffles. So I'm going to be full of falafel a couple hours from now. Actually, you know what? Trey reminded me of an answer because it was actually September 2018, too. It has nothing to do with the beginning of the starter season, but I remember it was the off season. Some of you guys were out and about. We got an offer for one of us to represent Turner at a podcast conference in New York City. And I was around. I said, oh yeah, sure. I'd love to go represent Turner Studios at the conference there. It was, Impractical Jokers were there. You know, it was basically a shindig. A
I
producer
referenced
for
the Impractical Jokers today.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, definitely. It was a producer from the Impractical Jokers. It wasn't the four guys. But anyway, I went there and I tried to pack in everything I possibly could because it was just a quick one nighter. So I got off the plane, went to Bleacher Report. I got a new phone. Then I went to the conference, and then I was lucky enough to go to a taping of the Rachel Maddow Show at night. My mistake, and why I'm still angry, I'm still angry at myself for this. I got a new phone that day, and I wanted to use it right away. So while I'm in New York City, I'm trying to switch everything from one phone to the next. And then I was out and about doing my thing at the conference, at the Rachel Maddow Show, taking photos, doing that kind of thing. And I couldn't log into a lot of my services, and I was just buried in my phone for so many hours. I was so frustrated. I hate changing phones. Number one, nobody likes it. But number two, it just was not a pleasant experience doing it on the road without my computer there.
Oh yeah.
So what a mistake. It was just a nice journey, a paid little trip where I was a little feisty because I couldn't get my head out of my ace and out of my phone, really. It was cool story, bro. Okay, we can move on.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
What's up, boys? I just wanted to share my basketball journey with y'all. So recently, I just started my professional career playing in the top league in Taiwan, which I was able to secure by achieving D3 first team All-American honors my senior year in the States. The league I currently play in, called the P-Plus League, has been home to several former NBA players such as OJ Mayo, Ronaldo Bachman, Julian Wright, Malcolm Miller, and Hashim the Beat. Granted, it's not nearly the level of competition of the league, but it's a dream to be able to play a sport and to get paid to do it. I'm telling you this because since I've been in high school and up until now, I've listened to all of your content from the start of the starters to today. Thank you. In high school, whenever I'd get home to do homework, I'd always make sure your show was playing. Whenever I'd go to work out, I'd have your shows playing either in my car or in my headphones. And through all of the listening and following, y'all, I really feel like you guys have been with me on this basketball journey. So my question, who is one person or a group of people that even though you don't know them personally, you've felt have been a part of that journey with you? Much love all the way from Taiwan. That's from Randall, originally from Jersey. So thanks for that, Randall. Lee, what's your answer for this one?
So long-time listeners of our show know that we started getting NBA games in Australia in the late 80s, early 90s, and it was one game a week. And one of those games early on was the Charlotte Hornets, I think against the Knicks or the Bulls. And a guy for the Charlotte Hornets came off the bench and was just firing away, and he was knocking all these shots. He only scored probably 15 to 20 points, but his name was Del Curry. And I remember thinking, like, wow, this guy's got a trigger on him, and, you know, he can shoot the ball really well, and it was great. And then, you know, obviously I started following the NBA a little bit closer, and then the first time I moved to Toronto, the first game I ever went to was the Raptors and the Pistons, and this old guy on the bench for the Raptors came off the bench and hit a three-pointer, and I hear, Del Curry, and I'm like, oh, wow, Del Curry's on the team, because I'd sort of, you know, I'd lost a bit of interest, I guess, in the NBA by then. And so I sort of got back and I was, oh, I remember Del Curry. He could shoot the ball. I remember that. And then if you guys remember the Game 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers in 2001, the last guy to score for the Raptors is Del Curry in a transition three where the ball comes down. The Raptors are down four. He gets the ball off a broken play and just pulls up and swishes the most gorgeous three you've ever seen. And I remember watching that in a bar with my mate Benny, and I was like, man, Del Curry, every time I turn on the TV, Del Curry's out there playing and he's knocking in threes. And I think did he retire after that season? Maybe he played one more season. Anyway, so then Del Curry, you know, he retired. And then I guess it was about 7 or 8 years later when I started in sort of pursuing sports media. I was at this journalism school, and this one kid was talking about this Curry kid who was playing for Davidson, and he was a really good shooter. And I was like, oh, I wonder if he's related to Del. And the guy's like, ah, that's his kid. It's his kid, is Stephen Curry. And I was like, oh, is he good? And he's like, I can't remember how he showed me, but it maybe was on YouTube. I can't remember. But he said, oh, yeah, looking at him, I said, oh, he's pretty tiny though. His dad was about 6'5", I think. This guy looks like he won't be able to make it in the NBA. He's too small. But then he had a game against like Blake Griffin. I'm not sure if it was a March Madness game or not. No, I think he goes to like 40 points and Blake has 35 in a contest. And anyway, so I thought, okay. And then Steph gets drafted into the NBA, but those first couple of years, you know, he's a good shooter, but he doesn't really make an impact. And then all of a sudden Steph becomes, you know, one of the most incredible players we've ever seen in the NBA. And he doesn't win the three-point shootout. And then all of a sudden he does win the three-point shootout 1 year. And, you know, he's talking about why he won it 1 year and how he couldn't win it those years before. And he doesn't reference my, he doesn't say my name, but he references the show that we worked on. And then a few years later, I'm actually shooting around with Stephen Curry. And, you know, we had Seth Curry on the show. And now this season, you know, watching a whole lot more Hornets games, I'm listening to Del Curry on the call there with Eric Collins in Charlotte. So it's like the Currys have been there with
me. Is Del Curry your second dad?
I think he is, because he felt like a dad when he played for the Hornets in that first game. And then he was certainly a dad when he played for the Raptors, you know, because he came off the bench, had the grey hair. He looked like someone's dad. And, you know, then that big three against the Sixers, I remember saying to my mate Benny, I said, that guy's just always been able to shoot. It's unbelievable.
That guy is a beautiful shooter of the basketball. Oh, he is. I wonder if I'll ever say that again.
And he's like, you got to write that down. You got to put that in your pocket. You got to say that at some point in the future.
But, you know, I mean, look, Steph. He obviously would know my name, but it's not like the Currys, you know, we're not getting together for Thanksgiving or anything like that. So, but it feels like the Currys have kind of been there with me for the journey.
Haircut, you hippie. you are linked. You're linked to the Currys here. That's a good answer.
Yeah, the funniest one was when I heard about the Curry kid at Davidson, and I was like, I wonder if he's anything like his dad. And I'm just seeing him firing in these threes. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Good stuff. Yeah.
Steph actually reminded me of an old Basketball Jones moment a couple weeks ago when he commented and he said something about AC Law the Fourth starting over him. And AC Law the Fourth was the first person that we ever got to do a little, hey, you're listening to the Basketball Jones? Yeah. I'm AC Law. Thanks for watching or whatever. You know, that kind of thing. He was the first basketball player we got to. We got some connection through some agent or something to get that. So that was AC Law's been with us through the Steph Curry years. I mean, he's a part of this show, a part of it. Even though Steph took his job, Steeler. He's AC Law.
That is so funny you brought him up because I was, for whatever reason, just going through super old emails in my Gmail account, and I had like the Jones folder, right? And I stumbled upon Tass. I think Ben Koo was helping us out, I believe. And we were building basically a PowerPoint presentation, like a deck of some sort to send out the Basketball Jones, you know, our podcast way back in the day before we were getting paid to do this. And so I'm going through these emails, like I'm just dying at like the notes we're making and stuff. And at some point, I don't know if it was you, Tass, or I don't know if it was me. I can't remember right now, but it was like somebody said, yeah, we could probably get AC Law to say a little blurb like for our show, like to put on this deck. So that is incredible timing that you're bringing him up, or that Steph brought him up, I guess, because I just saw that. And I was like, I was deleting a bunch of emails, getting all worried about my cloud space, my Google space. And I'm like, oh, I'm keeping these. These are too good. So I'll have to post these at some point because they're so funny. These old decks that we were working on. But anyway.
Thanks to Ben Koo.
That's a bit of a cool story. Yeah, Ben Koo. I think it was Ben Koo, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He was for a while. Yeah. The Chinese Jew, Ben Koo. That's what he calls himself. I'm not calling him the Chinese Jew. It's what he called himself, the Chinese Jew.
He's still
Jew,
writing
Ben
for Awful Announcing, isn't he? Mm. I think Ben is.
Up until recently.
Don't quote me on that, but yeah. Any other answers for this one before we get to the final question here? Trey, man.
I can't believe nobody said Mo Verney. He's my guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
My basketball journey started with you guys 15 years ago, and then Mo Verney jumped into the scene 2 or 3 years in, and he's been with me ever since. He's never-ending supply of memes for our family. I mean, first thing I look for is a safe in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. It's key. I don't say potato anymore. I say potato. My whole family does that. And he taught me the importance of stocking up on energy, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a great point.
Little dribs and drabs of wisdom. I have muted him from time to time, though, because he's a bit much sometimes. But
you always got to come back.
He always sucks me back in. I love the guy.
My favorite bit, Mo Verney bit going right now, is Mo Verney Instagramming whatever he's Instagramming about, some trip he's been on in Ontario or some car he's driving, and Lee always in the comments putting Mo in front of whatever he's actually doing. So if it's like about a car, it's like Mo Carry or something.
Mo Piney in front of some pine tree.
Yeah, that's what I'm just going to say that. Like, he's in the woods, Mo Piney. Like, every time, Leo, it's right there in the comments, having to drop a Mo pun or whatever the heck.
Recently, I Instagram storied my new coffee machine, and he wrote back, Lee Coffee.
You see? Genius.
A legend.
Oh my god. I don't know. Maybe we would be the only people to watch it, but Lee Ellis and Mo Verney traveling around the world. would like, would love I'm that. Sorry, it would one up Carl Pilkington and his travels. I mean, that would just be so good.
As long as JD's on the camera for that, that would be just perfect.
I would happily volunteer for that one.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, I wish Mo Verney said when he saw your coffee machine, it's going to be a long night. I got stuck up on some energy. Oh, man. Mo.
I can't wait for Coffee Time to be rebranded to Lee Coffee. Final one, and we'll wrap this up. It's been a long day at the Classic Factory, but our last one, this question from Rodrigo. Let's say there existed an alternate universe where COVID-19 never happened and No Dunks was finally offered an invitation to the celebrity game over All-Star Weekend. However, there's a catch. Only two members of No Dunks could join the festivities, and they had to be on opposite teams. How would you guys decide who went to the game and who would be the most entertaining opposing players? Churn up buttered thighs lozenge. That's from Rodrigo. And JD, I thought it'd be funny if you answered this one. Okay, so this alternate universe, we finally are invited to this game. It's safe to do it. How are we deciding on only two, and who should it be, and how do we come to that outcome?
Well, I assume since you assigned this to me that I was deciding, and I was like, okay, so... I mean, this is going to tear us apart. Ultimately, it'll tear us apart, because we've been wanting to be part of the celebrity game forever. Right. Since you became what, small C celebrities? Small D? What are we? What are we at? What's our level? D? Yeah,
D at least, I would even make.
Nah, not C.
Not C. E or D.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, there's still a chance, and this is an alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first of all, Lee, I'm sorry, you're out.
Wow.
That's not a surprise, JD. I'll reveal my answers afterwards. I thought this was actually very easy. Very easy. Okay. Go on.
It's not that easy. But you're easy because you said the other day that you would only shoot three-pointers. And honestly, I've seen you shoot three-pointers way too much, like, over the years. I feel like that's all I've done. That and free throws. And... it's not like you're going to get fouled. You're not going anywhere near the paint. So I'm not going to see any free throws from you. So I'm sorry, but you're out.
I didn't choose myself anyway, JD. Wow. So I'm not upset or anything.
Okay. All right. Good, good, good. Skeets, you are in.
Okay.
It's just because we joke about it, but I think you actually care the most.
100%.
Out of everybody.
I mean, I can't say I care more than the other guys, but I absolutely care. And I was... terribly upset we were never invited to this thing. Like, legit, it blew my mind that we weren't. And I know there was the big weird ESPN thing, and then it's on ESPN, the celebrity, and, you know, we're NBA TV. I'm sure there's some strange thing there, but that's not to say, I mean, Kristen Ledlow played in it, so
yeah,
it could
exactly.
Happen,
it's
right?
All bullshit.
They were afraid of us.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
It's also the D-list celebrity part.
Yeah, but Tass,
no, there's
on.
Some borderline celebrities.
We were at the starters for a couple years. As we got into the year like 4, 5, and 6, you're sort of hard pressed to tell me some of those people playing in the game were bringing more people to the game than we at least would have in terms of just pure content and talking about it and making videos for it and getting you to tune in. There's no way you can convince me otherwise. Some of those people.
And also, you may be small D celebrities in the grand scheme of things, but. In the basketball world, people know who you are.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We're big D celebrities in the basketball
world. If it's between two of you guys and the Property Brothers, it's you guys. It's got to be you guys. Who cares if nobody cares about the Property Brothers at the All-Star game? I mean, I know they're big. They're big celebrities and stuff, but come on.
Man, I saw a Property Brother at a Shoppers Drug Mart at the Toronto All-Star game, and I've never felt worse in my life. Seeing that Property Brother who was invited there just casually buying supplies. Ugh.
Oh, screw that guy. Okay, so anyways, so Skeets is in.
Okay.
So now it's Meryl Streep time.
Just got me.
He doesn't want to play.
No. I mean, if this was when we started, I'd be fine running up and down the floor many moons ago. But right now, I'm just going to embarrass myself. Like, I want to be good out there. And right now, I can't even imagine it. I can't even imagine. I don't want to be bad out there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you don't want to do it, I guess Trey, you're in. But I was going to say, we would have to have some sort of competition. Like, I don't know, like one of those silly Olympics type things like, I don't know, you know, the minute to win it, like a series of events that mm-hmm. you guys would have to go up against each other. And whoever wanted it more would get in, but sounds like Tass doesn't want it at all. So Trey, you're in.
Huge.
Nice. The other part that would have been great is, again, I always thought it was far-fetched that we would get four invitations. Okay.
Yeah.
I realize we're not going to take up a huge chunk of this celebrity game. But it was like, give us one spot. Let us get creative to either just determine who the person is to go in it, or better yet, Lee's playing 8 minutes. You know, Trey's playing the 8 minutes. Like, we have some fun with that. Like, again, think outside the box. The content that we could have generated for this thing would have been unparalleled. So,
I'd love to go hard for 4 minutes.
Well, there you go. So that part always angered me, too.
That can be your ad read for tomorrow there, Tassie. see, JD, the answer actually was easy for me. It's Skeets and Trey, because great friends, known each other forever. But on the basketball court, they get into it a little bit from time to time. And that's what I think the fans would absolutely love to see. Because, you know, if Skeetsy comes down and pops a little jumper in Trey's face, Trey's not just going to laugh it off. He's the next ball down. Trey's like, give me that ball.
Yeah.
Where's Skeets? He gets his big old caboose into Skeets. And he's doing his little fadeaway. That is what the fans would absolutely love to see. Us actually, you know, competing on the court. And Skeets and Trey are definitely the two that sort of clash the most when we play pickup ball. So I think it would be an easy answer there to have those two guys.
You're talking temper, boys. It's got to be me and Skeets, no doubt about it. But if you really want to beef, put us on the same team. I feel like that's when we fight the most. Like, come on, man. Yeah. You think I'm slacking all the time? I think you need to take over all the time. I love playing against you. Love playing with you. Also hate it both ways around. But yeah, I mean, gladly, I will go in the celebrity game. And I've changed my tune on this. I used to think I'd be Quavo out there playing as hard as possible. Now all I want to do is set the rebounding record. That's all I would care about. Beef. 20 rebounds in a celebrity game. Take every shot. That's fine. That's fine, Kevin Hart. Go nuts. Miss all you want. I'm hitting the boards.
Oh, man. Yeah, you would be setting some big beef records out there. I'd be dropping applesauces left and right. That'd be fantastic. All right, maybe. Hey, look. I think it's past. I don't think it's ever happening now. You know, we talked about
it. Never know.
After we were not invited to the Toronto game, In our home country, I mean, it was never looking good after that. But hey, you never know. You never know. That's it for us here for Beach Steppin'. A long day at the Classic Factory, but we had a lot of fun. Thank you so much for your emails and your comments and all of that. Keep them coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show, the No Dunks YouTube channel. We really appreciate it. We got to work the algorithm. Get up to 30,000. Tomorrow night, NBA Happy Hour. Yeah, the watch party. That's right. It's the Warriors-Mavericks game. You see their logos there in that frosty beer. We'll be firing it up around halftime of that Mavericks-Warriors game on TNT. It's the first game. So come join us. Come hang with us. I'm sure we'll talk for another 10, 15 minutes about what could have happened if we were in those celebrity games. Maybe we'll go through every celebrity game and, you know, talk about what we would have done in that game. Yeah, so anyway, that's NBA Happy Hour. And thank you so much. What You Need to Know coming on Thursday and, of course, Friday. Tess will be back for the normal Friday Daily Show, The Drop. We got so much content coming for you. You don't know what to do with it. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, that night in Toronto, Daryl took off his shoes, went to Coffee Time and grabbed some coffee and some stale donuts, too.
That's nice. Embrace the day, people. You could stay.